our today's lesson is looking at the positive side of those things. It's a way in which we look at the difference between the evil eyes and the good eyes. Tonight are the good eyes that we're going to look at, the eyes which we want to make sure that we put on, the things in which we learn in order to be pleasing to God and to draw closer to Him. We see five examples of those tonight. So I bid you to understand that these eyes that we're looking at are ones that we should, as Christians, try to make sure that that's the eyes we're looking out of. The first one is eyes of compassion. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another." This idea of compassion is something that I believe we learn best from the Master's teaching, Jesus Himself. Time after time, we can read in the Scriptures of how Jesus taught and He healed and He touched many out of the compassion that He had. This means that if you are someone, that you see someone hurting or in need, you're moved to act toward them. You're actually looking for ways in which to help them. You have compassion toward them. You understand the feelings that they're having. You do not want them to hurt anymore. So through compassionate eyes, you're moved to help them in any way you can. Just like Jesus certainly had compassion on the multitudes that followed Him time after time. Now He came and fed them when they were hungry. He healed them when they were sick. He also cast out demons for those who had been plagued with these things. And though they may have been sick or diseased, He healed them not only to show the power and authority, which is true, but because He felt for them, He loved them, and He had compassion. And we as Christians should adopt that same type of mindset. Look, if you will, with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke's gospel account in chapter 10, we find a story that is somewhat familiar to a lot of people in the religious community. It's oftentimes referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a story that we read about that has so many great lessons in it. And I ask you to follow along with me beginning in verse number 30 of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. It says, "Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw them, he passed by on the other side." Verse 32, "Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." This Samaritan had compassionate eyes. He saw someone who was in need and who was hurting, and he felt for that person, and he acted upon it. Verse 34, "So he," being the Samaritan, "went to him," the one he found on the road, "and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, giving them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.'" He did this with compassion. Those are the types of eyes. Not only is that an attribute that we need to put on, but we also need to have faithful eyes. Eyes of which show that faith is something that is living and breathing within ourselves. We can turn to passages like chapter 11, verse 1. That common saying that says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That's what faith is. Faith is believing without having to without having to fully understand, by simply knowing that it is by God, therefore, our faith in Him provides all of the things that He's needed. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith is it impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He listed here who are examples of great faith from our history in the Bible. People like Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. And after all of these people that are mentioned here, all of these great heroes of great faith, who? Just like us today. He goes on and begins the Hebrew writer in chapter 12 in verse 1 by saying this, "Therefore, because of reading this list and understanding the great faith that these people have, knowing that we can have that same type of faith because we serve the same God." The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." If we understand our faith comes from God, if we understand that it is a believing and growing and living faith, that we have a home of heaven that has been prepared for us, we are to be a people of hope. And we do so by looking through our eyes and seeing the ways just like what made them uniquely different is they did not allow the doubt of the world to dampen their spirits or to derail their belief in God. They had faith. It was impactful. We should have faith in our lives like they did. We can also look with the eyes of sympathy. You know, the sympathetic eye is something that I saw in Jesus himself. When we look at the example of Lazarus and the relationship that he had, turn, if you will, to John's gospel account, John chapter 11. We read here the story of one by the name of Lazarus, one who Jesus knew very well. As the story goes, Lazarus has died, and his sisters came to seek out Jesus, knowing that Jesus felt correct the wrong that they were feeling in their lives, the missing of their brother, the way of which saying that Jesus can make right the things that had gone wrong in their lives, and they knew that he could. Pick up what John records for us in John 11 and verse 32. It says, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, was troubled, and he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Verse 35 says, "Jesus wept because he had eyes of sympathy." It wasn't that he was being challenged. It wasn't that he was concerned that Lazarus had died and that he would now no longer see his friend. It wasn't the fact that he was being challenged to actually exude his authority and raise someone from the dead, for he had done this before. What moved him was the sympathy that he had. Those that were with him, who were destroyed. It says here that they were troubled. They were troubled with this understanding that they were weeping. And Jesus felt that, and he understood that, and he himself groaned in the spirit. So much so that this man, this God's son, shared in the sympathy for those who he loved. Jesus had sympathy for him because of the great pain that they were experiencing. Because as the story goes on, Acts chapter 17, where we spent some time this morning. But to understand this idea of having an open eye, searching constantly, seeking for what is best and what is great.